Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, here we go on a Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The panel is assembled. Sue is here as well. She's got Sue News, Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Olympics this afternoon. Dan Buff is going to drop by. John Henry and the Open Road Music Festival, so we'll talk about that. A lot of stuff going on. Let me introduce the panel. Jane is here, and she's been so quiet this week. I'm going to see if I can coax her out of her shell as we move through this hour. How are you, Janie?
I am doing good. Happy Friday.
A lot of stuff to talk about. Former State Senators Jeff Smith and John Lamping are here. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great.
Great
good
to see you. Mr. Lamping, great to see you as well. Let's start with the Faisal Khan stuff. I do want to get to the broader point of the mask mandate and what went on, but let's start with Faisal Khan because he went on CNN and had some things to say today. Jane, did you notice that?
He's been doing the worldwide tour.
Let me play a little bit of what he said on CNN earlier today.
I love St. Louis. We love our community. This is a very warm-hearted, kind, generous community. And even in the crowd that was present at the county council meeting on Tuesday evening, the vast majority of people were good people. They would never say or do anything vile to anyone, even if they were protesting mask wearing.
All right, so here's what he said happened.
What was regrettable was that the tempers in the crowd were stoked to a point that some individuals in the crowd allowed it to get the better of them, and it spilled over into abuse that should never have happened, lines that should never be crossed. It was highly unfortunate. It was saddening and jarring for me as a public health official. But we are used to being on the receiving end of public abuse.
All right, here we go, Jane. You were there. You were there the other night, right, when all this happened.
Yes.
So tell me your perspective on what Faisal Khan is saying and his allegations, because now he's getting the 15 minutes of fame and pulling the race card and everything.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's to me, is the regrettable part. He's the one who lost his cool. He's the one that flipped off the crowd. So this is sort of
by the way, I don't even know, because I didn't see the whole interview. Did they ask him about that on the CNN interview?
No.
About flipping off the bird?
No.
Okay.
No. And he also has backed off that there were assaults, because the video evidence is very clear, at least some of it, that that did not occur. And, you know, there are at least two major allegations in his letter that have already been dispelled. One, that he was assaulted leaving the chamber, which was very obvious he was not, and that Mark McCloskey and Tim Fitch were somehow friends and conspiring against him, which is not, in fact, true, because as Chief Fitch said, he's never met Mark McCloskey, never talked to him,
right,
and they are certainly not friends. So, I mean, the regrettable part is that, you know, they're stoking race in order to, you know, cover up the fact that they just broke state law. And, the whole reason that law was enacted was to return it to local control so that the local officials could have input on these mask, you know, either mask mandates or any of the restrictions that have been, you know, issued pursuant, you know, because of the pandemic. And again, He refuses. Sam refuses to work with anyone. And so he refused to work with the council. So he does orders. He doesn't. All he has to do is talk to these people. The people, I mean, Rita was clear. Shalonda was clear. They even passed a resolution at the end of the night. Of course, the press didn't cover that, that supported masks and vaccinations. And that's never covered. This was about the balance of power. This was about, you know, the fundamental, you know, separation and oversight. And they are sick and tired of not of him just going unilaterally, just like the mayor. They're both doing it. And they said, enough is enough. You're not doing this anymore. And, you know, and Shalonda, Councilwoman Webb, was the most angry because she said, I'm sick and tired of my community, North County, and the African-American community being used as a pawn in your political game.
So one of the things that was interesting to me, John, is that, you know, he's trying to make this about him, but he's not saying how the Democratic members of that council were asking these questions. They were demanding answers as well. So this is a diversionary tactic. I'm guessing he gets the blessing of King Sam on this, but what do you make of it?
I'm just shocked that it could be more dysfunctional. I mean, how can St. Louis County government get more dysfunctional? This Dr. Khan represents the administration. Nobody knew who he was prior to this meeting. He makes a fool of himself at the meeting, flips off the crowd. Of course, the crowd's angry. Anyone who's been to a political hearing, I've sat in front of dozens of angry people. That's just part of the process. It's the people speaking. And then for him to do a victim tour today on CNN, you know, I had a great conversation with a friend of mine in the Northeast today, and he was telling me about, you know, his plans to move to Florida and his neighbor's plans and how many of his kids' parents have all left the state. And look, when you've got dysfunctional government like they have in Massachusetts and like we're getting to have more and more in St. Louis County, there are some serious long-term ramifications of behavior such as this.
Well, and you bring up something. Him doing this and stoking all of this nonsense because he wants to help the mayor with her political problems and let her, because she gets cover for issuing a resolution that says, I get to spend whatever I want in whatever way I want. She deemed it herself.
This partnership between Tushar and Sam is really starting to take root, and they've only been in office together, you know, together for 100 or so days.
Right.
This is not a healthy thing for the community to have these two working together. And I think you know, this time next year we've got the an opportunity to elect a new county executive, and I think there's a possibility for coalitions to come together, take them out. This partnership can't persist.
Jeff, Jane's on our side today. I don't know if you noticed, which is great. So you're on your own, but what do you say about all this?
So I have a few thoughts. First of all, I think there's been a huge misread from the national media. You know, I've seen that happen several times. It happened kind of around Ferguson to some extent when national media people come in and interpret an event, a local event, not understanding the political context. And, you know, a lot of them were saying, look at these dumb rubes in St. Louis County all, you know, attacking, you know, the masks. And really, this was about, as I think all four of us can agree, a kind of much more personal dispute that, you know, the county executive is in with a couple Democratic members who, for whatever reason, you know, don't feel as if they've been adequately heard or attended to on a number of issues. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I agree with John in that, you know, certainly the crowd looked to be a little bit unruly. But when you're a public servant, you know,
that's the deal.
There's kind of a different level of responsibility that's expected. It was expected of us when we were in office, and I think it's expected of all. The last thing I'll say, if wearing a mask for the next year, or really 2 or 3 years, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but
I would not rule it out, Mr. Smith.
If by wearing a mask every time I went outside for the next few years, I could save one kid's life and save one parent
Jeff, you're not going to play the one kid's life thing in this situation.
Well, there's hundreds of kids around the country.
Hundreds of kids out of how many?
And about 20 kids are in the ICU in Springfield right now. So it's
How old are they?
Under 12.
They're under 12 in the ICU. I would challenge that. You're telling me there are 20 kids under 12 in the ICU.
I think I saw 19. Okay.
I would want to see the evidence of that because you have a situation in this country since the start of the pandemic. The start of the pandemic was when? February last year. 400 children under 12, or under 17, I think it is. That is a minuscule percentage there. Minuscule. You literally have a better chance of getting hit by lightning or an asteroid hitting the planet. We can't live our lives like that from now into the future. And by the way, still the people who are getting the most sick are people who have comorbidities. They have other problems. They're older people. So I know I've heard this whole thing about Springfield and kids being in the hospital, but I've never heard specifics about those children.
This can't be the standard, Jeff. Like one child, then you know what? Let's take all the interstate highways. Let's take the driver and speed.
Let's
down
ban
to 40.
Pools. Let's ban pools. There are 400 kids drown in pools every year. Should we ban pools?
So, the delineation I would make, first of all, we're talking about percentages, and you're right, of course. Children are unlikely to be deeply affected by this, but some are. And increasingly, with the Delta variant, they're seeing that more. The age across the country, the age of people in ICUs has plummeted. It used to be people in their 70s and
80s. Well, that's because they were all vaccinated.
By the way, that's because they're unvaccinated. Yeah,
that's one big reason. But since kids have not been able to, you know, to me, they don't have that option. And so,
but the vaccinated people amongst us, those of us who are vaccinated, this pandemic is over. All right, it's over right now, and we're doing everything we can to send a message and virtue signal to the unvaccinated that you have to wear masks. Just look at the public health comments. They know that you don't have to do this if you're vaccinated. They just want to do it because, well, I think some of it is because of power, but they think it's going to help people who are unvaccinated put a mask on or perhaps get vaccinated.
You mean?
But I don't know if that's even going to happen. So we're going to, the other thing is that, and John, I'd love your opinion on this. We're watching the UK right now. Freedom Day was now a couple of weeks ago and their cases were surging. There is an indication that the Delta variant has sort of run through the UK in an effective way where those cases are coming down. We hope that's going to happen here.
So I'll say two more things real quick. Number one, I think it's overstating the case to say the pandemic is over among vaccinated people. I think I'm learning new things every day.
I'm comfortable with saying it.
Well, so the numbers that I saw today were that, you know, it's obviously getting vaccinated reduces the likelihood you'll get it, you know, 80-85%, okay, is what they think. And then of those vaccinated people who get it, only one in 10 has a serious case. So it dramatically reduces the likelihood you'll have a serious case, but it doesn't mean it's over, okay? And I want it to be over. I'm not one of those people.
Look, you're basing that on what? You're basing it on the AstraZeneca research that they did in another country that isn't available here? That's the thing. All of these things that the CDC has done, that you want. I can cite the WHO. The WHO says, look, we're harming kids by putting masks on these kids certainly under 5 years old, but under 12 years old. So I don't have confidence in the numbers. I just don't. And I'd like to know, like Jane would, I'd like to know how many breakthrough infections are there? What number of people in our hospitals right now are unvaccinated? Because everybody tells me, I had someone a week ago at an airport in Fort Myers when I was coming back. She worked at BJC. You got 100 people, 97 unvaccinated, 3 of them, 1 shot.
Well, Mark,
all right, so are your kids in the ICU because they're unvaccinated? Are they there because of other reasons? Are they diabetic? Are they 17-year-olds and overweight?
So,
these are all things that are important.
So I agree
in
that
the
those
equation.
Are all things that are important. My point is that putting on this thin cloth covering, it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort.
It also doesn't do any good, by the way.
And it doesn't detract.
You just said 85% on the vaccines. What does the mask do? Best case scenario. Best case scenario, Jeff Smith.
I think it doesn't help.
Maybe 15% or 17%.
Yeah,
it's a small.
It doesn't
but
help
you guys act like the mask is the end all be all that's going to save people and save the planet.
No, you're a killer.
That's the wrong message.
You're a killer. That was the thing that shocked me because I'm not anti mask. I'm anti you don't get to issue orders and not tell people why.
Yeah,
they were not able to give one statistic.
All right, hang on. We got much more to go this afternoon on the Reardon Roundtable. Hang in there. All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable for this Friday afternoon. Jane Duker on the panel, former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith. And John, let me start with you. I don't want to get off the mask stuff because this kind of rolls into schools and everything else right now because the CDC has gone back and forth. You know, I don't know if you heard Randy Weingarten, but this was something a couple of days ago. It was interesting. She didn't even guarantee that kids would be back in school in person. I mean, I thought that was settled months ago, but apparently it's not at this point.
Yeah, I think the one silver lining of the whole COVID debacle with respect to public schools is for pro-choice school advocates such as myself. I think they've made more progress in the pro-choice lane than people such as myself trying for 20 years to get more school choice into place. It's ridiculous. I don't know if you saw this too. The Springfield School District announced just a few hours ago they're starting the school year with a mask mandate.
Right. I expect that most of the school districts around here are going to do the same thing, unless you're in St. Charles or Jeffco.
Parents, the number that I'm focusing on, the numbers that people need to understand is that the country has moved on to all this stuff. The illness is a difficult illness. People are suffering by it. But the mindset of the public is, let's all make our own choices. If you want to take a vaccine, take a vaccine. You want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You want to make your kids wear a mask, wear a mask. But this whole concept that government is going to decide what we're going to do, what businesses will be open, what schools will be closed, the country's moved on. And I think what happened in the county
council. Do you guys disagree with that? Because I think he's 100%
I hope he's comfortable with being a murderer. I mean, I hope that he can live with that. Because
yeah, John, you're a murderer.
I've gotten death threats from these
right.
people.
I know.
I mean, I literally have.
This all comes back to, like, people can't trust government. Government's lying to them for really a really long period of time. Could be weapons of mass destruction. It could be Joe Biden at the town hall last week saying, if you get the vaccine, you can't get COVID. But people don't trust government. They don't trust media. They know that social media is censoring them, and they don't trust the experts. So where does that leave us? That leaves us people are going to make, they want to make decisions for themselves. They want to be informed, but they don't want it to be proper. They want the honest opinion, but they can't get the honest opinion because they don't trust any of these institutions.
I mean, I feel like I don't know if I don't think it's me not having trust in all of that, in the institutions and the science. I think it's that, you know, the left does something, the right reacts, the left does something, and they both escalate. And they escalate, and they escalate, and they escalate on both sides, and then everybody's like, this is insane.
Well, right now, the escalation is, let's shut everything down, the left, and the right's like, no.
Right, and the rest of us in the middle are like, wow, there's things we can do that aren't really awful, and can we really have a discussion? And, yeah, it's frightening, because I'm seeing this in St. Louis County. The escalation from 0 to 1,000 on this it's terrifying. I mean, it is.
What, so Jeff, I'm curious on your perspective on this, because obviously, like I said, I joke a little bit, but Jane is on our side. But yeah. There is this undercurrent that is out. People are frustrated. They don't like the inconsistency with the messaging. They don't like, you know, again, I don't know what percentage of people this would break down into that would say, okay, if there was transparency and if the county council would make mm-hmm. these decisions, then we wouldn't feel like it's coming only from King Page and we'd go along with it. But that's part of the equation as well, all this distrust. So, and the other thing is, you talked about the rubes, you know, kind of showing the folks who might not get vaccinated or the anti-maskers in St. Louis City, and the general consensus, or St. Louis County rather, the consensus around the country is all the red states, these are people that aren't getting vaccinated. Well, there's a lot of people in North City and North St. Louis, in New York City. So this is a problem everywhere with unvaccinated, not just dumb people in red states that the CNNs of the world want to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. So I'm going to disagree a little bit with what John said in that there is broad support, and it hasn't really changed much over the last several months for actually vaccine mandates. The polling I'm looking at from this morning is that 64% of the country would favor requiring everyone to get the vaccine. 70% of the country would require it for everyone boarding an airplane. And 2/3 of the country would require it for all college students to attend classes. Now, I want to have a caveat here. I think it's a little bit like the issue of guns in this country, where, you know, you'll have 75% of people say they want, you know, to close the gun show loophole or trigger locks or whatever gun safety, you know, regulations that the left is proposing. But that doesn't mean it's going to be a good voting issue just because 3/4 of people support it, because the 25% who oppose it are far more intense about it than the 75% who support it. And I think what we saw in St. Louis County was something similar, which is everybody in that at that meeting, they will vote on this issue next year. But most of the people who are on the other side, it's like, yeah, I think that'd be a good thing, but it's not a voting issue for them.
Well, and the interesting thing is, too, I mean, the point I kept making is, if you don't have the balls to make county employees get a vaccine, you don't have the right to issue a mask mandate. Well, there are a lot of people like me that are like, wait a minute,
right.
You talk a good game, you hire your cronies to be vaccine coordinators, you don't take it seriously, and now you want us to clean up the mess because your vaccine program isn't working. So for those of us who feel like, hey, do everything you can on the vaccine side before you start burdening all the vaccinated people, you know, that, so there were a good number of people in there that weren't anti-masker, crazy, you know, conspiracy theorists, a lot of people who didn't speak, you know, there were 300 or 400 people there. And maybe 30 or 40 spoke. So, I mean, so you know, Page going out there telling everybody this was just the January 6th insurrection. That's what his spokesperson from the Department of Health called that meeting, was the January 6th insurrection.
I did not know that. Oh, John, have you heard that one?
Oh, no, it gets better. They wanted the SWAT team deployed so they could put on a big show that this was going to be a violent thing. I mean, the way this has been politicized, it is so disgusting. And so, you know, that's what makes me mad. Put your money where your mouth is. You want vaccines, then at least make the county employees.
The vaccine doesn't even mandate know who thing, is. Look, a mask mandate is one thing. A vaccine mandate, this country tries to do vaccine mandate, there will be.
That's maybe, but you can't do masks without having it. That's, Jeff, to me, it's inconsistent.
Those polling, there's no way. Majority of this country is not for the government mandating that they stick a needle in their arm. It's just not going to happen.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
They're not for it.
I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't think.
Well, but here's what Biden is happening. Okay, I'm with you. I don't think they would do it either. But, and I would not be in favor of it. Although I've made some cracks. Like, I'd probably more be in favor of that only because I want to live my life. Now, do I think the implementation of that is a good idea? No, I do not. But I think maybe even in some of the polling, the frustration is there from people that say, look, we, you know, it's 100 days or whatever it was. What was it at first? 15 days to flatten the curve. And now we're wearing masks for the rest of our life. And we have to have booster shots. So maybe there is a tendency for some people in there to say, yeah, mandate it because I'm sick of people not following the rules. But what is happening, once your response to this, you have restaurants, you have other businesses that are going to say, look, you're not coming into my place. At Lollapalooza, I'm going to go up to Chicago here this afternoon with my buddy Rob Hart. He's going to come on at 5 o'clock. I'm not physically going up. He's going to come on the radio. And at Lollapalooza, I don't know how the hell people are going to get in there. We're all music fans. You got to show your vaccine card or a clean COVID test or something like that. Is that where we're heading?
Well, if we are, there's going to be less people doing these things. That means the restaurants won't be viable. Prices will have to be higher to make up for the fact that people aren't there. Look, it's not going to happen.
Well, the thing that's unfair about that is it does not take natural immunity into account. Now, whether or not natural immunity is enough in the Delta variant, we can have debate about that. But that's never part of the equation.
Look, if a business says only the vaccinated can come in here, I'm not going in there if I'm vaccinated or if I have natural immunity. I'm not going.
I think a lot of people do that. That's your choice.
So that's not going to be a viable. That's going to be.
But don't
a
you think for
that's
some
their
people,
business decision,
right?
And
it's a bad one. Some people
it's fine
might
if they do it.
Well, that's fine. I think it's a bad one too. But don't you think some people will say, "Look, I'd rather go there because I know that everyone's vaccinated." There is going to be that part of the equation too.
That's right.
It's happening all over St. Louis.
And businesses need to figure out sort of where they want to go. And employers. I mean, you've got employers who are, you know, some are saying you have to vaccinate, some aren't. I mean, since Page has done his overreach again, the only good thing about it is that knowing that there's absolutely no leadership in St. Louis County, people are starting to do these things on their own and decide for themselves, sort of the businesses, and they're stepping up and saying, well, we're obviously government is kind of worthless on this, so we'll go ahead and figure out that maybe we're not going to let vaccinated people in, or maybe we're not. I mean, I think we're seeing it both ways, and you know,
okay,
I mean,
but
I trust
but
that more.
Here's what I think about a lot, and I think a lot of people do as well. Before I left for vacation a couple of weeks ago, I said, by the time I get back, we're going to be under a mask mandate. I was fairly confident, and sure enough, St. Louis leads the country outside of L.A. County. But I'm very selfish. I'm just going to tell you right now. I've got concerts coming up. I think I'm going to go see the Rolling Stones in Las Vegas at Allegiant. There's a music festival in Las Vegas that my wife and I are going to. I have some other things planned. I have a lot of fear, and I'm just sad about it because I feel like we're heading in this direction again where things are going to get canceled. Now, I don't know why Zach Brown and Sam Hunt canceled the Busch Stadium. I didn't hear anything more about that today, whether that was COVID-related. But I feel like this is just going to spiral now, and we're going to have more lockdowns. We're going to have kids wearing masks. Some schools are not going to allow kids in. What's the difference between last year and this year?
What I would love is if the country could get to a place. I mean, we're at this terrible place in this country where, as you guys have said, it's people just look at anything from the other side and discredit anything that doesn't come from their tribe. And I wish we could have just some sort of nonpartisan utilitarian analysis that says, are the trade-offs for this thing worth it? I happen to think that the trade-offs for wearing a mask are worth it because it's such a minimal, you know, thing to do. But as John noted, with like schools, it's killed low-income kids to not be in school for a year and a half. And we can't
immeasurable
let that happen
damage.
Again.
Right.
Yeah, and so, like, that is way too big of a sacrifice because the trade-off is not worth it.
But isn't that why you
me.
Elect people? See, this is the thing. The doctors, I don't blame the doctors. The doctors are going to say, oh, my God, you know,
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Exactly
that's
what
their
they
lane.
Do, right?
Their
be
lane
more
is
cautious.
To say,
exactly.
If you really want to stop this, this is what you have to do. Okay, but that's not. That can't be the only component. And so then, that's when the public officials and people that you assume are you know doing the right thing, you know, have to balance everything. And again, this is why transparency is so important. When Lida Crewson had the health board and did everything transparent, every day came out and said, "This is the numbers. This is the deal." You know, everybody bought in. But when you have people who do things sort of in secret and play games with people's lives, people get really angry. And they're angry anyway because it's been a crappy year. And, you know, and so when you top that with, you know, non-transparency and doing things in secret and playing games and playing political games, people are losing it. And I don't know. It's not that hard to be transparent. It's not.
So what's going to happen, like, to your point about you're sad because the concerts won't be as full, or you're sad because people are going to cancel, and there's
going to we're going to be back to just not doing anything.
We're going to have an experiment. The country's going to have an experiment. So the restaurants in Tower Grove South, very liberal part of St. Louis, it'll be a feature of the restaurant that they require vaccines and masks and airlocks and all kinds. That'll be a feature. People will actually seek out the restaurant, but then it'll be 100% of people that think that's the right thing to do, and 0% of the people think that that's totally wrong. Then we'll have states like Florida. If I saw DeSantis today,
I did.
Like, they're not shutting down
right.
anything. No. It's like, as far as going to say, look, here's the deal. There's an illness. It's out there. We'll get you as much information about it as we can. Make your own choices. Your own business, you decide. The people, you decide. And so what we'll find out in 6 months or a year is which of those two paths had it, you know, the pros and cons of each. And unfortunately, we live in an area in St. Louis City, St. Louis County. They're of the mindset that they're going to shut things down-ish, mask mandate-ish. And God bless them if they do a vaccine
I was in
mandate.
St. Peter's today, and life was normal. I shopped in Jeffco about a mile and a half over the county line from where I live. I feel like I can survive. All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. Dan Buffett is going to drop by in the next hour. We'll talk movies and entertainment. Frank Cusimano, who still, by the way, owes me a milkshake for the NBA Finals, is going to be here at 4:45. Jane is here. Former State Senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith. You were in on that bet?
I honed in on that bet.
Well, we'll see if he...
So he needs to buy us both a shake at...
I think you're right about that. We will we'll see if that comes through for us this afternoon. So let's talk Olympics here a little bit. And Simone Biles, that was the big story of the week. Jane, I'll start with you. A variety of opinions on this. My opinion, even when she first pulled out, I had a bit of an evolution on that day. Then I may have changed my mind just a little bit. I have mixed feelings about this one because I've heard experts and other gymnasts talk about this concept known as the twisties. I think they refer to it. And you can sort of see when they're in midair, and if you don't know where you're going or where you're, if your body and your mind is not matched up, that could be bad. On the other hand, it looks like, because to a lot of people, she's just a quitter. She quit on her country. She quit on her team.
Well, first of all, our country did fine because the woman that replaced her got the gold. So it all, I mean, and I am sad for her because of all the Simone thing. That woman who came in off the bench to get a goal, to get a gold, is amazing, and she deserves so much credit, and she was ready and she did it, and good for her. Look, I think if you're gonna I call it going Rick Ankiel. If your head
well, that's kind of like
it
that.
Is,
it really
you
is.
You know, and if you're a head case, I mean, like, it's different than baseball. I mean, you could die. Like, she does things that are dangerous, and if she's not there, she's not there. I appreciate someone's courage who says, you know what, I'm not here. I mean, that could not have been easy. People don't train their whole lives to say, I'm done. Okay. And she's never quit before. I mean, so I think if she knew in her heart that she was not going to be there, I mean, bad things could have happened. Not only could have it blown the whole Olympic experience, I mean, she could have, you know, gotten hurt. So
one thing I want to toss in there, because
a lot of
people have talked about, you know, if Aaron Rodgers would come out and quit, although Aaron Rodgers kind of almost did that in a different way. But if a quarterback would do that, there's all these analogies to LeBron James. The better analogy really for that is the downhill ski racer that's going 90 miles an hour.
Right.
Because you can't, if you're throwing a basketball up in the air, and obviously with football, it's a little different because you could get crushed. But again, I have empathy because I've had severe anxiety and mental illness. So I realize this is a little
most
different. It's more along the lines of the Rick Ankiel stuff.
Yes.
So
and
any differences of opinions here with Jeff and John?
So not a huge difference. You know, it's interesting because my daughter trained at Gage Gymnastics in Blue Springs, Missouri, and two of the alternates were from her gym. They were teammates of Emma's.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
we talk, you know, so what's unfortunate in what occurred is that it's probably the case that Simone knew before the actual team competition that she was in the mental state that she was in. And had she withdrawn from the competition prior to the beginning
they
of the
had
team
an
competition,
alternate.
Then they would have, actually, everything would have changed. So they would have changed all the degree of difficulties for all the other competitors. And you know, so that was, it was unfortunate that she did what she did at the time that she did it. But look, these girls, they've all had multiple broken bones. They've been in the gym when their teammates have broken bones and worse. And it's amazing that they're forced to concentrate. They train 6 days a week, six hours a day. They have to concentrate constantly. And when they start to lose it mentally, then they just basically they take the apparatus down. They start all over again. It's a crazy process. It happens to all of them. And so I was heartened by the fact that she chose not to go forward, that she didn't compete in the individual events, the all round events. I mean, it's as if she had an injury. Because to a gymnast, it is to be injured when you lose it the way she lost it. She would have probably broken something. The country doesn't get it. I get that.
See, you know this because you have firsthand experience with your daughter who went through this training in Kansas City.
Yeah,
but no, most people don't understand this.
Right, and I think that maybe it's just such as you know, hers was not the first. You know, we had the Osaka, the tennis player that said, "I've got mental."
Right.
I mean,
Well, that's why, you know, when I said something on Monday when this first happened, that was part of my problem because it almost seems like there's a bit of a pattern that is existing where people are just using this as an excuse. Now, in this case, I don't think it was. Jeff, what do you think? Any difference here between the group consensus?
I think the only thing I'd add, which I think is context worth offering at this point, which is that, you know, she went through a horrific, you know, abuse at the hands of
an Olympic
trainer,
right.
And it's pretty good evidence that some other people were aware of it, and she wasn't protected like a lot of other people from that. And you know, we know from research on sexual assault survivors that you know these things can you
have
know it's a lifetime of trauma, and you know I think adding that to all the other just unfathomable pressure you know that a person is under. When she is sort of like, you know, the face of the games for America, I don't think we can discount that. And so I'm in awe of her
courage.
There's
something else in that regard, too, that is kind of being whispered in the gymnastics world is that, you know, it's not a fun sport for the girls. There's a lot of issues besides just Larry Nassar. It's a lot of Eastern European coaches over the last two or three generations. And there's a general consensus that information and is going to come out about gymnastics in this country after the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that Simone is very much aware of that reality. And so when she talks about the weight of the world on my shoulders, I think the gymnastics world was hoping to, you know, put a real big, bright, shining light on the Olympics because they know what's coming after the Olympics with respect to going on.
And get their positives up before the hammer comes down.
It's amazing. If you guys have seen the picture, like Kim Carey Strug did that, you know, that famous vault, you know, and there's Larry Nassar helping her off the mat. I mean,
it makes you sick now, doesn't it?
And the Carolis had their ranch down in Texas where all the girls in our gym that were on the national team, they go down to the ranch, you know, and that's where a lot of this abuse occurred. And I mean, this is some crazy stuff coming out. I think this is maybe Simone crack knowing this is coming.
So are you dialed into the Michael Che stuff?
A little bit.
I am,
okay.
Yeah.
So from Saturday Night Live, you know Michael Che as he does Weekend Update. So he said on Instagram, now this is very interesting. I found out about this yesterday. There's more to the story now, that he had a desire to make fun of Simone Biles before approving of direct messages mocking Simone Biles. So he said on his story, Instagram story, "I got like 3 minutes of Simone Biles jokes in my head. I'm going to the cellar tonight to say them into a microphone, as the dorky kids say, I'm choosing violence." And then he says something like, "Larry Nassar understands Simone Biles better than anyone. He, too, had to quit doing what he loved at the pinnacle of his career because of mounting pressure." And it said, "GD, that's rough." Now, have you heard the excuse for this?
Mm-hmm.
He says he was hacked. That hasn't worked well for Anthony Weiner. Is there one celebrity out there who has claimed to have been hacked? Who is the guy from PBS who is going to do the debate? You know what I'm talking about.
No,
I mean,
every
time somebody says that they're hacked, they were not hacked. So how is this going to end for Michael Che?
It's a very interesting, because that's one, sadly, the joke sounds like him. because he is very edgy and always has been. And
well, I would think it would be pretty easy.
I mean, it rang like it sounded like him because, I mean, you know, he always pushes the envelope, but what kind of dark place do you got to be in to be like talking about like?
Well, it's one thing that he did it, but now to claim that you were hacked. I mean, because I think that it is incumbent upon Instagram then to come forward and say, look, okay, he was either hacked or he wasn't hacked. Let's figure it out. And if he wasn't hacked, you need to tell people that.
Yeah.
Mm. I was hacked as a very OJ. I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for the real killer.
That's weird. Yeah, very weird.
Like, what kind of place are you in to talk about Larry Nassar?
One story that broke earlier today that we haven't talked about yet is that St. Louis County Police Chief Mary Barton has resigned and is getting a $290,000 settlement with the Board of Police Commissioners over a complaint that she filed. Jane, is there anything more to this?
Well, I mean, other than, you know, we shouldn't have been here in the first place. This is just another one of those, we shouldn't have been here in the first place.
In other words, she shouldn't have gotten the job, maybe?
I'm not sure that this was Mary's strong suit.
I don't think it was. I think we know that at this point.
43 years of phenomenal service to St. Louis County. Literally phenomenal service. And I think that when you play politics with a chief position, this is what happens. And it's not fair to her because, look, all she did was apply for the job. She got picked because she was a consensus candidate. You know, and then they put her in the job and it's basically they let her flail and let her, you know, they let her really struggle. I mean, really struggle. And, you know, and now they're paying her. And I mean, none of this needed to happen. If Paige hadn't played games with the police board and played game with the chief search, then we wouldn't be here. Everything has consequences. And so this woman has had her 43-year career blemished because she was put in a job that she likely wasn't suited for. And with a lot of heartache that's happened. And so now Ken Gregory, who is set to retire in December, so this is not a permanent solution.
He's the new acting chief, Lieutenant Colonel Ken Gregory.
Yeah, and nice guy. And so, you know, so now we're in the chief search position again, which is a very, you know, right now, I mean, I worry because I'm like, with the chaos
going
on.
Why do we need to do a search? We don't need police.
Your son doesn't want police,
so why would we even waste the taxpayer money trying to find a new chief for St. Louis County? There's no reason to do that.
Well, par for the course, St. Louis County, it's amazing. I wonder what's going to happen next week. Just a free shout-out. So the Franklin County Fair is August 3rd to 8th. That's ZZ Top, 38 Special. So all you who are thinking of moving out
you better check
Louis
on
County,
ZZ Top after
no,
a couple of days ago.
Okay, they're playing. So, look, there are other places in the listening audience where this craziness is not going on, and this craziness seems to be nonstop in this county. I just can't believe it.
The morale of the police department, this is the bottom line, is that this debacle, and it is nothing more than a debacle, this debacle has taken a department that's one of the top in the world. They are the highest credentialed possible of any department in the world, okay? This is one of the best departments in the world, and they are demoralizing it one step at a time. Mm. Every time they play politics, every time they do this, they're demoralizing a phenomenal department. And so I just, you know, it's frustrating beyond belief.
And they're demoralizing the county residents, too.
Well, yeah, because the residents love their police, and they want to feel safe, and crime is going up, and we're not hearing about it.
We have wrapped another edition of the Reardon Roundtable on this Friday afternoon. I made the ZZ Top comment because Dusty Hill died a couple of days ago, but they had been touring, I think, without him. He pulled out. He had some hip problems anyway, but he did pass away earlier this week. Jeff Smith, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. John, always awesome to see you. The perspectives are necessary. And Jane's going to hang out in the next hour. Buff is coming in. We got Frank Cusimano. We'll have a little fun. Coming up.
Traffic.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.